Sunshine Today with Ann Stevens, sponsored by Sunshine Ministries and Evangelistic Outreach. Today's program will lift your faith as you walk through the life of a child of the living God.
Hi, and welcome to Sunshine Today. This is Ann Stevens, and this program is to proclaim the loving intervention of God in the lives of His children. And it's based on Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And I'm so glad He is.
Well, today in the studio, we're happy to have Dr. Billy Holland back. I want to introduce you again to him. And believe me, it takes a while. He's married to Cheryl, and they have been married for 38 years. They live in Nicholasville. They attend Church of the Savior, which is my church also. And they have two children. Their son is Joshua, and his wife is Taylor Marie, and a daughter, Jamie Nicole, and her husband is Luke. He received a bachelor's degree in theological studies, a master's of theology in Christian counseling, and a doctorate of divinity in Christian counseling from Christian Bible College and Seminary in Blue Springs, Missouri. He received a second doctorate in Christian education from Anderson Theological Seminary in Camilla, Georgia. He's a certified chaplain with the Kentucky Fire Commission and the Kentucky Federation of Fire Chaplains. He is a faith-based psychological first aid team member with the Kentucky Community Crisis Response Team, which is called KCCRT, which is a state organization that is a branch of Kentucky Emergency Management and teaches FEMA and Homeland Security. And a side note, he's on call for any type of disaster-related crises within the state of Kentucky and, if needed, anywhere in the country. He retired last year from UPS, his other vocation, and now has the time to serve Christ full time. You know the old saying, ministers don't retire, they refire. Well, Billy's no exception. Listen to this.
Along with serving in various churches as the worship leader, in the past, he is now.
He's a chaplain with Jessamine County Fire District and has been since 2012, and a team member and chaplain of the local community Emergency Response Team, CERT. He's a volunteer unit chaplain at the Thomas Hood Veterans Center in Wilmore, where he does a Bible study and leads worship 2 days a week. He leads a biweekly Bible study and leads worship at Hope Lodge, a UK American Cancer Center for cancer patients. He also ministers at Lord's Legacy Life Ministries, and that's a ministry for mentally challenged adults, and the Jessamine County Senior Citizen Center and Diverse Care Nursing Home. On top of all that, he's written a book, soon to be a bestseller, A Lifestyle of Worship, which brings to the reader how to live in the awareness of God's presence.
He has made 6 albums of music he has written, and if that isn't enough, he has said that if your church or if your organization needs a worship leader, he would be honored to come.
Well, Billy, thank you for coming back again this week. And just like I said last week when I got through introducing you, wow.
My pleasure.
You have a lot of education. You have done a lot. You're still doing a lot. And last week I asked you how God made a man like that. Well, we can't repeat the whole program, but could you do a recap of how He put this in your heart and the music, how you started the music? And then I definitely want to talk about that wonderful book that you've just written, A Lifestyle of Worship.
A lot of us have been in the ministry for a long time and served the Lord for a long time. You just realize that God's just like laying one brick at a time in your life. And again, I just want to give Him all the glory and praise for His patience and His mercy in my life. And I was telling you before the show started that God's doing a work in my life. Since the book's even been out, the Lord is, it just seems like He's just really wanting to do some heart surgery. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, well, you know, we're beyond that. But God really showed me some things that are very sobering in my life and causing me to look at myself and self-examine myself even deeper.
You've been a Christian for how long?
Well,
you grew up in a Christian home, but when did you really truly give your heart to Jesus?
I was about 12 years old.
About 12.
Yeah.
So you've been doing this a long time. Mm-hmm. God has been bringing you to the altar. bringing you to the altar of you decreasing, him increasing.
Right, exactly. Well said, well said. And I personally believe that the deep work of transformation and renewal within our own soul and our mind is led by the Lord. Of course, we're not going to seek the Lord on our own with our own flesh and our own self. But I personally feel like that what I'm going through is not really that uncommon in this point in time that we are in the age. I believe that the body of Christ as a whole, every child of God, is hearing and feeling the stirring within their heart from God himself, because I believe it's a part of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's quoted in Acts from chapter 2. I remember the original passage was found in Joel. Mm-hmm. That says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions," and so on. So I believe that God is really desiring to awaken his people to the importance of holiness.
Well, I think they can feel that things are changing. We're not in the same kind of world as we were before. We feel that we got to get as close as we can.
Well, I feel like God is doing a work so that we can become who Jesus died for us to be. And
yeah,
this is, I really personally believe, this is leading up to about the wedding garments of the bride.
Absolutely. He is coming back soon. And we've got to be ready. We've got to have oil in our lamp.
Those garments will not be, will not have spot or wrinkle on them. And I think that the spots and the wrinkles is what the Lord is really working on me about. And it depends on how serious we are about purity and obedience.
Well, I'm glad you're bringing this up.
I can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're bringing this up, because an awful lot of people think that they can go down to the altar one time and say, "Lord," you know, they do the sinner's prayer.
Right.
And then they go out
right.
and they live just the same way. They have no seeking of God, reading the Bible, or knowing. And they think they're saved.
This is a very uncomfortable subject, and I really hadn't planned on going there. But I don't think that we can disregard that the possibility that there's many in the church that have never been actually born again.
Right. And some think they have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet they have no desire of God whatsoever. So let's just tell you right now, if you don't have a desire for God and you think that you're saved and going to heaven, please go talk to God right now. Go talk to him, because
absolutely,
that is not how you feel when
you're
really saved.
If you are not feeling the Lord intervening in your heart, and if you are not feeling the drawing power from his Holy Spirit to improve and to help you advance and to move toward what the Lord has called you to do, then I would really seriously suggest to do some self-examining of your own.
Yes.
And make sure, because those that are not saved in the church, I believe in the last hours, are not going to hear the still small voice of the Spirit. I do not believe they are going to sense or recognize what God is doing in our midst as he prepares his bride and does give the oil and the lamps for the virgins and all of that.
Right.
They're going to go and continue living the religious lifestyle that they've always been used to, and they're not going to be aware of what's happening.
He's coming back very soon, and
yes,
I believe the rapture could happen any moment.
Yes, I believe that the Lord is coming for his people.
And so we want you listening right now, we want you ready. We want you in heaven.
Absolutely.
We want you to have the joy, the peace, and the happiness that you want and that you need and that he wants you to have.
Absolutely.
Well, Billy, let's talk about your book.
Okay.
Your book is about worship.
Yes.
And people do not realize that all worship is not singing. First of all, I want to tell you that a good friend of mine has read most of it. He thinks it's one of the best books he's ever written, and he's a minister, and he loves it. The only thing he says is, whew, there is so much in every bite.
Well,
so you can't read it. You can't just sit down and think you're going to read this book through.
That is so encouraging, because when you produce something and you release it, you know that there's people that's going to read it that's very intelligent and that are scholars. and they're going to check you out. I had a good friend of mine the other night, as a matter of fact, during the Dallas Home Concert. He bought one of my books, and he's a PhD, and he's a professor at Eastern. The guy is an absolute phenomenal scholar and a very intelligent man. And when I gave it to him, I thought, oh boy, you know, he's really going to get in there and analyze that book. But I have had some really good feedback from it. People have said it's really blessed them. But going back to your original subject about worship, it's been one of the most difficult things, I think, in my life, especially since I've been in a part of the Spirit-filled movement and the full gospel movement. When I actually learned about worship and experienced it myself, I remember as a young man sitting around the kitchen table with some friends and an acoustic guitar, and we'd just be singing in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit would fall in our kitchen to the point to where we were paralyzed. And I know that a lot of people know what I'm talking about, but and a lot of people now today call it soaking. They call it drunk in the Spirit or whatever you want to call it. But I remember not being able to move under the power and the love and of God. That was such a great feeling. And, you know, after it was over with, we would laugh and we would just be filled with joy and just have all these different experiences of intimacy with the Lord. And you try to tell somebody that you know, that believes that worship is just singing a song and that's it, there is quite a chasm of, yes, of difference between these two experiences. And I think that's been one of the most challenging things that I've had in my life dealing with music and worship, is just trying to get people to taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes.
And be able to understand and relate to what we're talking about when we're talking about going into the depths.
The more you, yes, get in, the more you want.
Yes.
Because you see there's more, and, yes, there's more, and there's more. There's no limit to God.
Absolutely.
You can have all of God that you want.
Oh, now you're taking one of my lines.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
that is one, I think, that right there is, you know, is one of the greatest revelations, I think, that I've ever come into, seriously, because you set a mouthful when you say that you can have all of God that you want. And I think that the question among us Christians today would be, just how much do we want?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But going back to the worship again, and it just crossed my mind that, and I explained it in the book a little bit, is I felt like the Lord, personally for me, the Lord showed me the tabernacle and related that with the depths of worship. And, you know, a lot of people want to stay in the outer courts of thanksgiving,
oh,
and,
yes,
praise.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's wonderful. The outer courts are great because we're thankful, we're joyful, we appreciate salvation, we appreciate what Jesus did on the cross. But the Lord showed me years ago that there was more to the tabernacle. We couldn't just camp out in the outer court and not be willing or desiring to go inward into the
tabernacle. Like a good dinner, and all you eat is the appetizer, absolutely, and the steak is inside.
Yes, absolutely. And I realize the tabernacle is a diagram or an explanation of our salvation experience, but that is also what brings in the part of being filled with the Spirit and the other things that come along with it. But progressing into the tabernacle deeper, to me, is a type and shadow of how our relationship with God develops, and how we learn how to draw nearer to Him, literally, you know, spiritually, through our daily relationship. And that's what the book, title of the book was, A Lifestyle of Worship. And I wanted to try to explain that a lot of times our idea of worship is going somewhere and doing something. You know,
yes,
like an act,
yes,
or a deed. Like someone would say, come tonight at 7 o'clock and we'll worship.
Uh-huh.
And that's fine. But I felt like the Lord was showing me in the book that worship can be more than just going somewhere and doing it, like going to church on Sunday,
mm-hmm,
the same concept. That worship could be something that could be created within us as an awareness. Let me ask you something, Ann.
Okay.
If you thought that we could be aware of God's presence 24 hours a day, all the time, that we would know that He's sitting right beside us, or that we would know that He's in the car with us or at this grocery store with us,
yes,
do you think that would change your life?
Well, it has.
Absolutely.
It has.
And that's my message to the world.
Being single so long, especially.
Oh, there you go.
Because I talk to him all the time.
Yeah.
In the house, in the car.
So that is the message, really the heart of the message
of
the book.
That he is with you at all times. And every single thing that matters to you matters to him.
Absolutely. And the subtitle of the book is Living in the Awareness of God's Presence. So I believe when we look at worship, taking that as a vehicle to drive us into what we're talking about, we're actually talking about increasing and enhancing our intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's exactly what the book is about. People may think, oh, the book's about music. Well,
no.
It's very little about music, actually. It is about music because music is a part of worship. But I'm going further. I want to go beyond the music into the worship of who he is personally.
And when he becomes your best friend.
Right. And not just telling him how great of things that he has done or all of the things that he can give us, but just for who he is.
For who he is.
And that's it.
Yes, for who he is.
And so...
I'm thinking this at the same time. This is what Satan wanted. This is why Satan rebelled. He wanted the worship. And the worship wasn't a song he wanted. The worship was he wanted everybody to look to him as like God.
Yeah, like a rock star, yeah.
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 In that same idea there, I don't think that the enemy really minds us singing praise songs as much as he is worried about that we might be able to take it further and actually get connected in with God personally. So, you know, I think that a lot of times in church in general, and I'm not being critical of anyone, but, you know, singing three songs and having a sermon, a lot of times really that might not really draw people into a deeper, intimate relationship with God necessarily. It could just be like a religious
ritual.
Uh-huh. It doesn't move us. It doesn't touch us. It doesn't minister to us. It doesn't bring healing. It doesn't expand or inspire us to search or seek God in a deeper way. But going back to the tabernacle again, too, and I wanted to finish that thought, was that as we proceed deeper and deeper, the ultimate place, I believe, or the meaning of life even, and I know that's a mouthful, but, of course, the meaning of life is to love and know God.
Yes.
And so the Holy of Holies is the ultimate place that God has designed and created and desires for us to end up. And that is where we end up at his feet. We lay our head on his bosom and we drink from his cup.
Yes.
That is where he wants us to live.
And to care about him, too.
Absolutely.
You know, what is on your heart today, Lord? How can I pray what's on your heart?
And we talk about Jesus being our Savior, and that's very common in the religious world. But when we go deeper and say that he is our Lord, that means we have turned and abandoned our life, our will, and yielded our plans and thoughts and turned them over to him and allowed him to come in and sit on the throne of our heart and to actually lead our life. That's when he becomes our Lord.
That's right.
And that's exactly his ultimate plan for each one of his children.
Well, you explained that so well, and I have not had a chance to read the book, but this friend of mine has told me a lot that was in it that I have meditated upon also, and I think this book is wonderful.
Well, that's, I appreciate that.
I think
Thank you.
That would really take people into a deeper place, and especially when they're praying, Lord, I want all of you.
Well,
they need to know exactly what that means.
When we talk about being in the presence of the Lord and how glorious it is, and I know that many of the listeners relate to that, you tend to wonder, well, why wouldn't we want to be in that all the time.
Yeah, well, explain to them. There's a lot of people who do not know what you mean when you say to be in the glory of the Lord.
Well, it's hard to explain. It really is, because we're fleshly bodies trying to have a spiritual experience.
Yes.
Or maybe it's the other way around. We're spiritual beings living trapped in a fleshly temple. But whichever way you want to look at it, I do believe that that is where the ultimate peace, the ultimate contentment, and in God's presence, being saturated and just surrounded by His love. There is no greater place on earth. You know, like I said a while ago, you would think that we would want to stay in that.
Yeah. Explain to them how you feel at that time in the earthly body.
Well, I believe it's probably one of the closest things to being resurrected or transfigured or whatever. I think that it's almost like an out-of-body experience. And some people have even said that they thought that it felt that way.
Yeah, but you feel light.
Yes.
There's no
darkness. It's like you are in the light of God, the brightness of God. You are in the tranquility and the...
Like a body without any weight at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that also it's a place of repentance where we are pure.
Yes.
We are clean. You know, the joy that you experienced the moment that you accepted Christ as your Savior.
Yes.
And you felt like the weight of the world had lifted off of you. You can still experience that on a daily basis.
Uh-huh. Over and over
absolutely,
and over again.
Because God's presence is the same all the time.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful every time.
It's wonderful every time. Yes, that is well put. Interesting. I chose a song. I wanted them to hear one of your songs too, called Just Like You. And I think that follows really what we've been talking about.
That is one of my favorite songs, really.
Let's hear it now, because I think it explains itself.
Awesome.
Just Like You.
Father, I welcome you to do what you need to do, so that your will may be accomplished completely in me. For to touch your heart is the reason that I live. Break me, melt me, create in me brand new. Change me and make me just like. Just like you, give me the desire to go through the fire, willing for you to mold. Come open my eyes that I might see the vision of who you want to be in me. Break me, melt me, create. Just like
Well, Billy, that was a beautiful song, and it is, again, just beautiful worship music that just takes you into the throne room and makes you want to be just like him. I think you've touched hearts, and pray for them, would you?
Yes. Just something that's really on my heart is for anyone who's working in the kingdom, and I feel like the Lord is wanting to say that if you feel like that you've not been effective and you're only ministering to a few people, the important thing that I think that the Lord wants to say to you is do not be discouraged, but just do what he is telling you to do, because he doesn't look at numbers and success like we do on earth. If he's told you to minister to 20 people and you did it and you are doing it faithfully, and he tells somebody else to minister to 1 million people and they are and they're doing it faithfully, then in the eyes of God, you're equal. It's not that one is more important, has done more, or is more successful. And I felt like the Lord wanted me just to squeeze that in real quickly and just encourage you and tell you that you are doing exactly what God wants you to do. And he is very pleased and very happy with you, and for you not to be sad or discouraged because you think that you're not doing enough. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask you, Lord, just to bless everyone out there that's listening. I just ask you to speak to their heart and just to inspire them, Lord, to seek you in a greater way, in a deeper way, and that they may, Lord, want to go through the tabernacle and go into the Holy of Holies and just crawl up in your lap, Lord, and let you put your arms around them, that they may just soak and saturate, Lord, in your holy presence. Lord, I pray you just continue to teach us your word. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Give us the revelation of your word. It's not just knowledge, Lord. It's understanding what that knowledge means and what it means to us personally. So I just believe, Lord, that you are doing that by the power of your Holy Spirit. You are the only one, Lord, that can do it. We look to you, Lord. Our hope and our trust is in you. No matter what is coming in the future, God, no matter what is over the horizon, we believe that we will hold your hand and walk with you and trust you and do your will, and we'll be in perfect peace, and you will protect us and watch over us. And we just thank you so much for that. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Billy Holland, thank you so much for being on the program. And again, give your contact information so they can get your music and your wonderful book.
I just think to keep it easy is just go to BillyHollandMinistries.com, and all the contact information will be on that, and everything that you want and that our resources, anything that we can send you, would be an honor for us to serve you.
Well, we're out of time.
But before we close, Billy said he wants to give away 5 CDs and a book. So call me at 259-2777, and the first 5 callers will receive a CD, and the 6th caller will receive a book. Again, that's 859-259-2777. And leave me your name, your email address, your phone number, and your address. And Billy will send you a CD or a book, depending on what number of caller you are.
Dr. Billy Holland, thank you so much for being on the program and all that you've brought to us.
Excellent. And I want to say, too, that the book is on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Apple iBooks, or if you want one, like I said, contact me through the website and I'll send you one.
Thank you.
Sunshine Today is a listener-supported program and is on every week at this time. If you have been blessed, please send a donation to Sunshine Ministries, P.O. Box 24703, Lexington, Kentucky, 40524. If you would like more information about Sunshine Mission and their vital ministry to the poor and needy in Central Kentucky, please call 859-259-2777, or you can email them at their website, www.sunshineministry.org. Remember, that's S-O-N, like the Son of God. Again, the phone number is 859-259-2777. And the mailing address is Sunshine Ministries, P.O. Box 24703, Lexington, Kentucky, 40524. And now, a final word from Ann.
Jesus loves you, and he loves your compassion for the unbeliever and the poor. And remember, he said in Matthew 25:40, when you've done it unto the least of them, you've done it unto me. This is Ann Stevens saying, go be a blessing. Bye-bye.